So this evening, we'll continue our tour of Braj. I would like to introduce you to the people who live there. Now, to discuss these exalted personalities is not actually possible for us. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakur explains that time to time Krishna sends one of his dear devotees, or he comes himself to the material world in order to explain to the benighted inhabitants, those who are forced to suffer the darkness of ignorance, to explain what it is like in the spiritual realm. He also says that for one, an ordinary person, to try to explain what the spiritual world is like a person who has never ever been to England trying to explain what it is like in England. Now, it's an interesting analogy because those of us who are very modern, we would think quietly to ourselves, well, you know, you could look it up on Google and find all about England and you wouldn't have any problem describing it to anyone. And so Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakur very cleverly takes this point himself. And he says, actually, somebody could study from Bengal what England is like. And they could make a presentation because both England and Bengal are part of our universe. So there are some similarities. But he says, the spiritual world and the material world are poles apart. They're completely different. They work by completely different laws, completely different mechanisms. And so therefore, for somebody to say, I think that it must be like this, 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 and this, they're going to get everything wrong. So therefore, what do? We take shelter, of course, of those very, very kind personalities who have come and given us information that is perfect and complete. So I like always to begin by sharing something from Śrīla Prabhupāda. Because he transcends where we are. He comes to where we are. And I'm sure there are some amongst us who are newcomers to these subject matters and who find that the technical aspects of transcendence are a little complicated to follow. So therefore, let us first hear from Śrīla Prabhupāda. Prabhupāda says, you can join with Krishna and dance with him. Why are you forgetting that? But you have to qualify yourself. You cannot dance with the dog and God at the same time. If you want to dance with the dog, then remain here. Go on perpetually dancing with the dog. But if you want to dance with God, you can prepare yourself and go there and dance with him. That is up to you, because everything is my choice, what I want to do. So if we develop our propensity to hear about God and his activities, we develop this with the cowherd boys, with his friends, with the girlfriends, gopis, his mother and his father, his teacher, and so many more. If we develop this, then, Śrīla Prabhupāda again points to this world and he says, everything here is imitation. Please remember the tree on the side of the reservoir and the reflection of the tree in the water. The reflection is a replication, imitation of the reality of the tree. Everything here is imitation, perverted reflection. Here we also have got all these different relationships. Everything is here also. But because they are material, they do not stand. I am a servant of somebody. If he does not pay me my salary, I give up my service. I am a friend of somebody, but if my intentions are not fulfilled, I give up the friendship. I have love with a boy or with a girl here, but as soon as there is some discrepancy, divorce. So here everything is perverted with so many faulty ideas, but the very real thing is there in the kingdom of God. There everything is eternal. By becoming a servant of God, you will enjoy on the same level as your master. By becoming a friend of God, you will enjoy eternal friendship. By becoming the father or the mother of God, you will enjoy the parental affection between father and son eternally. And by becoming a lover of God, you will become eternally happy. So unless you hear about these things, then how can you become intensified to go to God? Just like when I hear about some country, again, Srila Prabhupada is using this example. When I hear about some other country, and everybody knows this because the modern man's tendency is to want to see the whole world. And when he hears that there's some amazing thing to see in another country, what does he do? He wants to go there. So when I hear about some country, that this country is like this, there is such and such happiness, there is such and such enjoyment, then we think of making a tourist list to go there. Therefore, go back to home, back to Godhead. To go back to home, unless we hear about him, how can we become inclined? Therefore, God comes. Krishna comes. He manifests his pastimes in Vrindavan. How he's dealing with friends, how he's dealing with servant, how he's dealing with mother, father, teacher, lover, and so forth, so that we may become inclined to go back to home, back to Godhead. This is God's mercy. Therefore, executing religious principles means that the result must be to develop our propensity to hear about God. Now, in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Srila Prabhupada is even more firm about this point, that if we want to get out of the replication, the material world, we have to dedicate ourselves to learning how to love Krishna. One who has not been attracted by the transcendental beauty of rasa will certainly be dragged down into material attraction. And thus, to act in material contamination and progress towards the darkest regions of hellish life. But by understanding the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, one is freed from the grip of attraction to material so-called love between a man and a woman. Similarly, if we understand the pure parental love between Nanda and Yasoda for Krishna, we will be saved from being dragged into the material parental affection. If one accepts Krishna as the supreme friend, then the attraction of material friendship will be finished for him, and he will not be dismayed by so-called friendship with mundane people. terrible. Another rasa. If one is attracted to servitorship of Krishna, to serving Krishna, he will no longer have to serve the material body in the degraded status of material existence with the false hope of becoming a master in the future. And one who has even understood Shantaras, neutrality, who understands the greatness of Krishna, will certainly never again seek so-called relief of impersonalist and voidist philosophy. If one is not attracted by the transcendental nature of Krishna, one is sure to become attracted to material enjoyment and thus become implicated in the clinging network of virtuous and sinful activities, and to continue material existence by transmigrating from one body to another. Only in becoming conscious of Krishna can one achieve the highest perfection of life. So these are Srila Prabhupada's words. On one side, he's offering such a wonderful opportunity, and on the other side, he's giving us warning, choice. If you want to dance with God, you can dance with God. It's possible. We can't imagine, but it's possible. If you want to dance with God, you can't dance with dog. We can imagine. We know what that's like. But this we don't know. And therefore we come only for hearing about Krishna. So Prabhupada will tell us now, in Vrindavan, nobody knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nobody knows. But their love of Krishna is so intense. That is what is wanted. That is required. You have to become an intense lover of Krishna, bus. Then your life is successful. It doesn't require any education. This is Vrindavan residents' life. They did not know who Krishna is. But it is very loving, centered, all centered on Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan. When Krishna's wonderful activities are discussed, Nanda Maharaj's friends say, "Nanda Baba, your son is so wonderful. Maybe he is a demigod and he has come to live with us." But they did not know that Krishna was the Supreme Lord. Now, we will hear a little bit more technically about the residents of Vrindavan, and then I would like to share with you how they felt when they did come to know that he was the Supreme Lord. What was the special nature of their love when they knew that? So, in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking with Sanatana Goswami, and he explains that there's an extraordinary competition that goes between Krishna and those who actually have developed their love for him. Both Krishna and the gopis are complete. The gopis' love is like a mirror, and it becomes newer and newer at every minute, and their love reflects Krishna's bodily luster and sweetness. Their love, in their love, they can see Krishna's beauty. So they have the mirror, and he has the beauty. They have the love, he has the sweetness. And both of them keep increasing. Since neither of them can give up, Krishna cannot give up his sweetness, and they cannot give up their love, their pastimes become newer and newer and newer, and both sides constantly increase. I remember when I was very young, maybe I was about 10 or 12, and I was thinking about eternality, because in church and so forth, I would hear that you go to heaven and it's forever. And so I would sit there with a young, underdeveloped brain and try to think what forever would be like. And after some time, I felt very scared of the idea of forever, because it seemed to be like you were captured and chained and forced to be in this one place. And then I decided that it wasn't such a good idea to go to heaven. It was more interesting to follow, as we say, the modern man's idea and have a look at this and go there and do a bit of this and try this and so on and so forth. An experiment, rather than find yourself in a situation of foreverness. And so when I read that Krishna's pastimes completely keep changing all the time, and they just keep repeating every time differently, and the residents of Vrindavan, their love is such that they forget when Krishna leaves, he goes, even in Goloka Vrindavan, he appears to leave Vrindavan, because the full spectrum has to be there, even up there. So Krishna appears to leave, and the residents of Vrindavan lament that he is leaving. And they go into a state of agony, it seems. But in that state of intensified love, they see Krishna in their minds millions and millions of times. When Krishna is there and they open their eyes, there is one Krishna. But when he leaves and they're meditating on him, they see Krishna wherever they look. So even their sadness, so-called, and their separation, which makes our heart tremble and makes us feel very sorry when we hear about it, even when they're experiencing these emotions, they're simply another transformation of their ecstasy. When we hear, by the way, you should understand, when we hear these stories and leelas at our level, we try to compare them to something we've experienced. There's one story about one old lady, and she was listening to Ram Leela. And when Ram went to the forest, she cried and cried and cried and cried. And it was very impressive. And somebody said to her, "Why are you crying so much?" And she said, "Oh, it's just like when I lost my goat in the forest. Oh." And this brought back the memory to her of some loss of her own. So we should understand at this particular stage, when we hear that the gopis are suffering in absence of Krishna, we think how we would feel in the absence of something that we thought was intensely valuable. And because what we would experience would be some mundane experience, we would only be able to experience loss and no happiness. And therefore, the tendency of the mundane mind is to think that Krishna's pastimes are material. We don't think it like we're thinking, "Oh, this is all material," but we think of them in a mundane way. And therefore, it's a little difficult for us to step over and understand what it is like for Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan themselves. But some things Gop Kumar, he shares with us. Actually, he doesn't share with us. Sanatan Goswami shares with us. And Gop Kumar shares with one very simple brahmana who is also very eager to understand Vrindavan, but he's not yet mature. So in order to instruct him, Gop Kumar tells him his own story, how he came to the level of maturity, hoping that this will inspire faith in the heart of his friend, and his friend will have the confidence to go on with his spiritual journey until he too attains perfection. So Gop Kumar is trying to explain to this brahmana what it is like, what the residents of Goloka Vrindavan and Gokul, because the same residents up here, they also come here. He says, "The Goloka Vasis are born sometimes as partial expansions, and sometimes as their full selves." That means, just as we heard this morning, the residents of Vrindavan can take many forms at the same time. And not like us, who would have difficulty with that because we would have one mind and we'd be accessing information from so many different places at the same time, we'd become confused. But they can take on different individual personalities and be in different places, interacting and exchanging at the same time. And interestingly enough, Srila Prabhupada tells us that we also have this same capacity within us, because we are part and parcel of Krishna. So we too can develop ourselves, our bhakti, our level of experience of spirituality, right up to this very high level also. And this we heard in the pastime we heard today in Mithila, how one form of the king goes one place and another one goes in another. We can also do that. So then, he explains that whenever there is a need of a partial devotee, that means a devotee to be partly there or fully there, they can manifest another form at their own will, so that Krishna's pastimes can go on in Goloka Vrindavan. They can go on eternally, invisibly here in this Vrindavan Dham. And they can go on in prakat. Prakat means when the pastimes are visible. And aprakat means when the pastimes become invisible. So Krishna's pastimes go on invisibly here, eternally. And when it is the time for this particular universe, because in every universe there is a Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka. So when it is time for Krishna to appear here for his 125-year performance of his pastimes, at that time his pastimes are prakat, or they're visible to anyone and everyone. But not anyone and everyone can understand the nature of his pastimes, and not everyone can see that this is transcendental. There are personalities who cannot see. There are personalities who Krishna allows to see. And there are personalities who have never ever forgotten Krishna. And they're acting in the same way as they always do, full of love and sharing with Krishna his pastimes, here, invisibly, visibly, and at the same time there. So we and they can expand. Now please listen here to something that Gopakumar explains to the Mathura Brahmana. He wants to explain to him what's the mood of these residents of Vrindavan. And he takes two different groups to explain: the cowherd boys and the young girls of Vrindavan. And they're distinctly different. O best of Mathura Brahmanas, listen, and all of you also, please listen. By the powerful influence of Krishna, I will tell you more about the great wonders of that place. Every one of the millions and millions of cowherds. Now, when the word cowherds is used, it means male. Every one of the millions of cowherds, the children, the young people, and the elders, every one, every single last one, thinks like this: I alone am dear to Krishna. Every one thinks like that. So who misses out? I remember one time asking one very wise Vaishnava. I said, if I go to Goloka Vrindavan and I want to serve Radha and Krishna, there will be so many unlimited others who are there, and I'll have to wait in a very long, long queue, and I'll be at the very end because I just came. And that person smiled at me and said, oh, there are so many Radha and Krishnas there. And I said, does that mean that everyone serves their own Radha and Krishna? And they said, yes. Everyone is serving like that. The cowherd boys, when Krishna comes out of home, Mother Yasoda has decorated him so nicely. But when the boys see him, they each think, not so nice. He should have a little kind of ornament painted over here and some dots on his face. Or he should have something in his turban or something in his belt. And they all run and pick flowers and leaves and so forth. And inconceivably, they all redecorate Krishna at the same time. This is the nature of the spiritual world. Nobody misses out. And it is not boring. Oh no, eternity. Eternity of Sundays and angels' wings and we all just sing hymns. No, it is not like that. It is full of life and variety and excitement. Just as the pure way they behave towards Krishna always confirms this ecstatic mentality. They're convinced of this. So does the way he behaves towards every one of them. This Goloka ecstasy is not just an idle meditation. It manifests itself actively in the way the devotees deal with Krishna. The cowherd men express their intimate love for him in everything they do, including eating and sleeping and ordinary household affairs. And Krishna also shows his behavior by his behavior that he considers himself their property. There is never even a trace of duplicity in the loving exchanges between Krishna and the devotees in Golok. Everything is performed on a pure Sudashatva, pure goodness platform. It is not that Krishna truly loves only one of his devotees and with everyone else he only pretends. He loves them all. Yet none of them ever become satiated. Their love shows a thirst that is the mother of sheer humility, and it simply grows stronger and stronger and stronger. Their love keeps intensifying their humility. They feel so anxious to be with Krishna. They never think, oh, okay, thank you, Krishna, that was very nice. Now I want to do something else for a while. I think I'd like to take a tour of the material world. I've had enough of this, thank you. Never, ever, ever does that mentality occur. Now, please hear about the gopis. Still, it is towards each of the gopis in the millions and millions that Krishna always clearly shows the greatest attachment, compassion, and love. Now, I found when I read this, as I read about the cowherd boys, I felt quite jolly. I thought it would be nice to think that Krishna thinks that he likes, for me to be able to think that Krishna likes me best. I would like that. That's quite enjoyable. And when I read about the gopis, I felt a little bit nervous. But this is because, again, of that material mentality that plagues us at every moment. Listen to how the gopis feel. If Krishna shows... This serves as evidence for hundreds of logical arguments by which persons like me can understand that nowhere in that abode or anywhere else is as dear to him as the gopis. If Krishna shows special love for one gopi, it becomes apparent that she is most dear to Krishna. All the gopis have this exalted, perfect love, and they all know the pleasure of Krishna's never-ending chain of pastimes. Yet none of the gopis ever imagine that Krishna has special love for them. Each of them thinks... So this is just to understand the exalted nature that we can see for ourselves. Oh, as we were hearing many times, this is what we keep above our head as our highest aspiration. Rather than thinking, oh, that's very nice. I like that. I'll take a pound. I'll take a couple of kilos of that. Thank you very much. Each of the gopis thinks, when will I be fortunate enough to become even the lowliest maid servant of Krishna? The ambition of every young gopi in Golok is to someday gain the good fortune to be allowed to enter Krishna's service even in the lowliest position. Such utter humility distinguishes them from the young gopas, the male cowherds, who tend to consider themselves Krishna's favorites and presume themselves very fortunate. The gopas often feel dissatisfied with themselves for various reasons due to the nature of their exalted love, the cowherd boys. That the gopis' love, however, is on the highest level. Oh, the gopas, they sometimes, of course, feel dissatisfied with their love, and then they become anxious to become better servants. But naturally they think, Krishna loves me best. But the gopis' love, however, is on the highest level of perfection. They are never satisfied with themselves, for their humility is absolute. Each of them considers herself Krishna's worst maidservant, her only hope being to somehow be permitted to continue serving him despite her disqualifications. In this way, the moods of the gopas and gopis are different. Now, please hear the mood of the residents of Vaikuntha. This is also very interesting. The devotees of Narayan and Sri Vaikuntha also never feel that they have had enough of the ecstasy of worshipping the Lord's lotus feet. But every one of them assumes that the all-powerful, almighty personality of Godhead is going to become completely merciful to all of them without discrimination. How mysterious. This is not the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan. They do not think, oh, Krishna is going to take care of us, everyone, no problem. They always think, I'm the worst. But they don't have an inferiority complex. They don't feel miserable feeling like this. Their humility is like the next door neighbor of pure love. Humility, dānya, and prema bhakti live side by side. So their feeling that I'm so disqualified, as we heard, is in competition with Krishna's beauty. I'm so unqualified, but he's so beautiful. And he thinks, they're so qualified. How can I give them some pleasure? And they think, no, I'm unqualified, but he's so beautiful. And in this way, their love continues to increase and increase at every moment. Oh, my Lord, says Gop Kumar, it is amazing how intensely these devotees are absorbed in the fathomless, bottomless, endless rasa of pure love. The exalted nature of their mood is incomprehensible, even to great sages. Now, I want to return to the point that I told you, which was that Srila Prabhupada said that the residents of Vrindavan never know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we hear in the Krishna book and in the writings, the commentaries of our acharyas, that after Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and held it aloft for 7 days, and all the residents of Vrindavan stood in the valley beneath Giriraj and watched Krishna performing this extraordinary pastime. As Maharaj said, sometimes dancing a little bit. Sometimes he would seem to just sort of tip Giriraj up and catch him again. Sometimes he would do so many playful things. When they watched this and they said, this is our Krishna. He's our young boy. And everybody thought he's our son. And Nanda wanted them all to think, yes, he is your son, not just my son. So when they're watching him doing this, holding up a hill, and it wasn't like this hill, believe me, it wasn't like this. Tomorrow night I will tell you what Giriraj looked like, the hill that Krishna lifted, and the mysteries of that pastime. It wasn't just the tip of the tip of Giriraj. It was the full manifestation of Giriraj's full size. And Krishna lifted up this enormous mountain, and they all stayed underneath. The children played, the cows ate a little bit of grass, but mostly everyone just stared at him. When they came out, they thought about this, and they took Nanda Baba aside, and they had a meeting. There's a place in Nandagram where they would go, and they would meet there. Whenever they needed to have some assembly, they would go there. Nanda Baitak, it's called. And they took Nanda aside and they asked him, "This is very, very amazing. We think that your son is extraordinary. Maybe he's a demigod. Or maybe he's Lord Narayan." Now, Nanda Maharaj didn't like to hear this. Nanda Maharaj, hearing this when they consulted with him, he wished to remove their present realization of Krishna's Godhead and increase their understanding of Krishna as their son or their brother or their friend. Therefore, he repeated Gaga Muni's words. He explained everything that Gaga Muni had told him, that your son is just like Narayan. Just trying to explain to them that he's not Narayan, he's like Narayan. And why did he do that? Although they had seen Krishna's phenomenal powers, they should not give up their affection. They should continue to give him their blessings fully. He was afraid, not really afraid. This is the nature of his love. There was no fear. But out of love, he didn't want them to think, oh, he's so great, and so he doesn't need you all to give your blessings and love to him. Because he just wanted Krishna to be loved by everyone, because everyone loved him. So as good as Narayan, he explained, meant that Narayan's powers had entered Krishna and not that Krishna was Narayan. He explained, he said, just like there's one jewel, we call it a Surya Kanta. That's Surya Dev, of course, is the name of the sun. So it's not that the Surya Kanta jewel has become the sun, but it has some qualities like the sun, and therefore it's called after the sun, it's called Surya Kanta. So he said, the child was not God, nor was he exactly an ordinary human being, but trying to figure out how to explain this, he was somebody who could perform extraordinary deeds. There you have it. Nanda said, this great personality has come as an ornament of our family lineage. Gaga Muni warned us, don't become bewildered by his abilities. Because Krishna can perform wonderful activities, do not think of him as God. You should make him the object of your compassion. How can you make God the object of your compassion? Make him the object of your compassion by blessing him to live a long life. You should not be indifferent to him. Nanda repeated Gaga Muni's statement where he told them all, protect him very carefully. And this way, he removed the doubt of the cowherd's men and they accepted the words of Nanda Maharaj. They accepted that Nanda Baba said, he's not Narayan, he just performs these extraordinary activities. And hearing this, they became peaceful. However, very soon after that, on the Dvadasi day, Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, went to take his bath, as we know, in the Jamuna, and he was arrested by the followers of Varuna, the servants of Varuna. And they took him deep under the waters of the Jamuna, because Varuna Dev has the ability to stop water. So under the lake of the Jamuna, there was a huge cave, a big hole. And in there, down there, is Varuna Dev's kingdom. And so the servants of Varuna took Nanda Maharaj and they brought him down there. And they took him in front of Varuna Dev. And when Varuna saw him, he noticed that he had around his neck a tulsi garland and mala. Of course, Nanda Maharaj's eyes were closed because he had continued his meditation. He was worshipping Lord Narayan. And that was why he had to take that bath exactly at the right time. So Varuna realized, seeing that he had a small garment on and the garland and the tulsi mala, he realized this is a worshipper of Narayan. And he understood that his servants had made a great mistake. But then when he looked very closely and saw all the exalted characteristics of Nanda Maharaj, his effulgence and his beautiful, gentle, fatherly demeanor and all his wonderful qualities, he realized this is the father of Sri Krishna. And he knew he was in a lot of trouble. So he immediately seated Nanda Maharaj on a wonderful couch covered by celestial cloth. He seated him there with something for his feet. And he quickly went out to the entrance of his kingdom to wait for Krishna to come. Krishna told Balaram, "Take care of my mother. Don't let her become worried and think that I have disappeared." And he gave Balaram different instructions. And then, before everybody, he dove into the Jamuna and disappeared. And you can just imagine how would you feel if somebody you love very much went to take their bath in the Jamuna and they didn't reappear? You would be in such agony. Well, that is for us. Just imagine how the residents of Vrindavan were feeling. And the ladies were holding on to Yasoda, begging her, "Don't go into the water." And they were telling her all the pastimes of Krishna, as they had with Kaliya. And they, the residents of Vrindavan, thought, "Balaram, he protected us and he gave us good advice when we were worried about Kaliya, so surely he is correct." So they managed to keep themselves calm. Krishna went into the water. He dove right down to the kingdom of Varuna. And generally, Krishna's eyes are lotus-like, and his complexion is dark. But he was red with rage, and his eyes were furious when he got there. And Varuna Dev, when he came, he quickly offered his respects to Krishna, and Krishna said to him, "Where is my father?" And Varuna Dev very respectfully said, "Please come." He is seated very peacefully. And he brought Krishna on a celestial cloth that he placed on the ground, right to where Nanda Maharaj was sitting. Now the whole time that Nanda Maharaj was there, he had his eyes closed. He wasn't aware of where he was. He was simply meditating on the wonderful qualities of his son. And when Krishna arrived there, he said to Nanda Baba, "Father, I have come." And Nanda Maharaj opened his eyes and he saw Krishna. And Krishna said, "Come with me, we are going." But Varuna was very worried. He said to Krishna many wonderful prayers. And he said also, "Please, you can punish me, or you can give me mercy, but please remove my offense. Because if an offense is not either punished or forgiven, it remains there. So I am very, very, very sorry." And he spoke so many wonderful prayers. And then he collected wonderful presents, garments and jewels and so forth. And he gave these to his servants and said, "You go and take these back." So when Nanda Maharaj appeared again with Krishna, he had so many messengers came with so many gifts. Now this was most extraordinary to Nanda Maharaj. He saw Varuna worshipping Krishna. He heard him offering these extraordinary prayers. He saw how Krishna was welcomed there, and he became a little perplexed. So when he spoke this time to the residents of Vrindavan, he said to them, "I think that actually he is God." He is God. And then they all discussed this together very eagerly. And this is something I did not share with you, but the residents of Vrindavan always think themselves ordinary people. They never think, "Oh, Krishna, I know all about Krishna." They always feel they know nothing about Krishna. So they're very simple. This is mysterious to us. We're worshipping them, and they're feeling themselves very ordinary and lowly and not very specifically important. So when they started thinking that Krishna actually is God, then they thought to themselves, "Well, if he's Krishna is God, he's the Supreme Lord," then their minds became full of eagerness, and they thought to themselves, "Maybe he will bestow upon us Goloka Vrindavan. Maybe he will take us to that highest abode." And some of them even wondered what it would be like to become part of the Brahman. They began to think about these things. And when they realized they were dealing with the Supreme Lord, they wanted to know these things. And Krishna, immediately, he felt, "I am so indebted to the people of Braj. They are my creditor. I am completely their debtor. Whatever they want, I will give them." And so Krishna wanted to show them their actual position. So for one moment, he separated the Brajabasis from Braj. And at first, Srila Kaviraj Kanpur, Kavi Kanpur says that Krishna showed them the Brahman. And when they saw this, they noticed that they had no feelings. They didn't feel the feelings they felt for Krishna normally, but they didn't also feel the absence of those feelings. They had no feelings, and they thought, "This is terrible." And then immediately Krishna showed them Vaikuntha Lok. And in Vaikuntha they saw, "Oh, there is Krishna." But it wasn't the same, just as Gop Kumar felt it wasn't the same. They all felt this is not the same. The personified Vedas are praying and glorifying Krishna, their Krishna, but it was not the same. And then Krishna showed them the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, and it was identical with what they experience here. And then they came to understand that this is the highest level of the whole spiritual realm. And how do you think they thought then? Did they become like Arjuna and they became, "Oh, Krishna, please forgive us. We thought that you were our tiny son and now we understand your greatness"? No. They said, first, when they wanted to see these things, they said to Nanda Maharaj, "We think your son Krishna should fulfill the desires of his friends in the material world themselves," they said, "because besides being the Supreme Lord, he is also the son of our brother." He was still their relative. He's a Supreme Lord, but he's still their relative. He's not like detached from them. They're not detached from him. "He's the son of my brother. He's the son of your sister. He's the son of our daughter. We love Krishna and he loves us." So Krishna said, "Yes, take whatever you want." Now, after they had seen this, the cowherd boys began to think about this and they said, If he is God, and he and we are the same, because he's not greater than us, if he is God, then we must be very important too. He's important and we're important. And so although the cowherd men and the cowherd boys were seeing Krishna's greatness, it did not even slightly diminish the intimacy of their relationship. Let me read you one last very sweet quote, one other thing that Gop Kumar tells the Mathura Brahmana to finish our seminar, our class tonight. He told the Mathura Brahmana that the people of Braj, actually this was Narada, told this to Gop Kumar. He told Gop Kumar, the people of Braj are not bewildered by Krishna. It is Krishna who is bewildered by them. When he forgot what he had to do for the demigods, I had to go personally myself and somehow try to remind him that you have some unfinished business, because Krishna has other leelas. After Krishna killed the demon Kesi, Narada went to Vrindavan, convinced Krishna that he had to leave for Mathura to slay Kamsa and the other enemies. With clever praise and arguments, Narada reminded Krishna that Krishna had promised the demigods to rid the world of its burden. So this is what Narada sees, because he's a resident also in Dwarka and in Mathura. But the residents of Braj, they never thought like that. They just thought, everyone here is thinking, Krishna likes me best, and all the gopis are thinking, if only I can one day get to serve him, this will be the perfection of my existence. So these are just a few small hints. There's so much can be said, it's an unlimited subject. And please forgive me if I have covered it very scantily, very quickly, and without much qualification. But this is a subject that Srila Prabhupada would like us to become very interested in. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaini Maini Tai, oh Krishna Balaram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Jaini Maini Tai. Oh, please sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Oh Hare Hare
Oh 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 Nitai Nitai De Radhe De Radhe Oh Hari Bo Jai Gopal
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Naita. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Oh, 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 oh!
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Nitai Nitai Krishna Krishna Hare Hare oh.
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Anharman Prabhu
Jai Rama Rama Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Everybody, please raise your hands in the sky and sing very loudly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Prabhupada, 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 Shila Prabhupada.
Hey, whoa!
Jaya Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai. Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai. Jaya Radha, Shyama Sundara Radha, Shyama Sundara Radha. Jaya Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radha Jai Jai Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanesvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haribhye. Please repeat. Vajami Radham Vajami Radham Aravinda Netram Smarami Radham Madhurasmitasyam Vadami Radham Karuna Bharatram Dato Mamanyasti Gatina Kvapi. It means I worship Radharani who has lotus eyes. I remember Radharani who smiles very sweetly. I speak of Srimati Radharani who is unlimitedly merciful. Indeed, except for Srimati Radhika, I have no other goal in life. It's a little bit what we have heard about in the Manakshiksha seminar, that our good fortune in approaching Krishna is attained when we go into the camp of Srimati Radhika. And as a servant of Radharani, chant Krishna's holy names, remember Krishna, worship Krishna. Because with Radha, Krishna displays all of his divine qualities. Hare Krishna.